In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I want to congratulate you, Mary, on your baptism and talk about its implications. It just so happens that the gospel reading for today is about a wedding garment. Now, I wasn't going to speak about it in the liturgy because I want to talk about Abba Moses, one of my favorite saints, who truly understood about putting on a wedding garment. But I want to talk about it now because it applies perfectly to baptism. You know the story. The story is that there is a king of a kingdom, and he wants to give a wedding celebration for the marriage of his son. So he calls everybody in the kingdom to come, and rich and poor alike go in. Now the custom of that day, that Jesus is using the parable, that custom for this parable, is that when a person came in, if they were poor, they would put on a wedding garment. Probably if they were rich too. So they all were arrayed in rich, beautiful garments. So no one was in old clothes or dirty clothes. Everyone had a wedding garment on when they were in the festivities. And so, I'm skipping a few parts, but the most important part is at the end. When the wedding is filled with people, good and bad, poor and rich, sinful and not sinful, but all wearing a wedding garment. The king comes in to check on his guests, like a good host would. And he comes across a man that does not have his wedding garment on. Now it is certain that this man was given a wedding garment, because they were given them at the door. So he had a wedding garment and he discarded it. And so the king asks, he says, "Friend, how hast thou come in hither not having a wedding garment?" And one of the most frightening sentences in all of Scripture, "And he was speechless." He had nothing to say for himself because he had been given a wedding garment and then he had discarded it. And he really had no excuse. There was no explanation. He just did what he did. So the king said to his servants, "Bind him hand and foot, take him away, cast him into the outer darkness, where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen." This is an image of the call to salvation and whether or not we accept it or reject it, and what happens when we reject this call. Rejecting this call, we're bound hand and foot. That is, we can't do anything. You can't repent in the next life. You can't make good on the things that you've done that are bad. In this life, we can. In this life, we can apologize to those that we've harmed. In this life, we can return what we've stolen. In this life, we can be kinder to those that we've been unkind to. But not in the next life. We're bound hand and foot. And also, we are in the outer darkness. That is, not a place that where God is not, because God is everywhere. But a place where there is the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. A place where there is sorrow, but not repentance. Because as you remember, I hope you remember from a couple days ago, repentance is to be sorry and to change, to desire to change. So it's two things, not just being sorry, but also to change. And those that have gone into the outer darkness, bound hand and foot, they can't change. They'll be sorry, and they'll still have all of their passions, but they'll have no way to change. And they'll just be regret. So that is the image of hell. But what's most important is not to focus on the image of hell. Sometimes preachers do that, especially in other traditions. I personally think it's kind of stupid to do that, because God has called us to himself. God created us to know him. He didn't create us to be afraid of not knowing him. He didn't create us to be afraid of hell. He created us to long for heaven. And so baptism is now enabling you to fulfill that longing. But I'll tell you from personal experience, both of my own heart and knowing the hearts of others to the extent that I have known them, to long for heaven is something that you must acquire. You might have some of it now, some of this longing, but you also have distractions and things that can make you stop longing for heaven quite easily. So it must be acquired, it must be nurtured, it must grow. A great tree is very, very susceptible to death in its very early life. It's only a small seedling. It can be pulled out of the ground. A redwood could be pulled out of the ground at the beginning of its life. And so it is with us. We must cultivate the Christian life, this longing for heaven, so that we can go from a small seedling to a large, huge tree that is well-rooted and that cannot be uprooted. And this wedding garment is the key. So when you put on a garment that is white, of course, in our culture, white is purity. It's a symbol of purity. We are putting on the symbol of purity, which is speaking of a manifest interior truth. Exteriorly, we put on a white garment. Interiorly, we are putting on Christ by being baptized. So we are going into the wedding feast, as it were, being given a wedding garment. And we must keep this wedding garment till the end of our days. Now, of course, anybody who wears white knows that it gets dirty quite easily. Well, there is fortunately cleansing. Now, if you know much about laundry, you know that a lot of things, once they get dirty, they cannot ever come clean. White things especially. If you spill some ink on a white shirt, it'll never, ever, ever be clean. But that's not the way it is in the spiritual life. You spill something dirty upon your garment by your sins. You can come to God in repentance, in confession, in almsgiving, in fasting, in sorrow, in tears, in changing to the best of your ability, and that black mark upon your garment will be completely removed. Completely. There won't ever be even a remnant, because God can do that. In fact, God wants to do that. But you must keep the wedding garment on. You must, by that I mean that you should have a longing for heaven and a priority in your life that you must do those things that lead you to heaven. If something in your life does not lead you to heaven, you should stop doing it. That's very hard for some people. A lot of people try to do things that are worldly and do things that are spiritual, and that never works. That's like having good wine, a barrel of wine, and mixing a little bit of poison in it. Nobody wants to drink the wine after there's poison in it, even if it's a small amount. So, although your garment may get dirty, in fact, it's not that it may get dirty, it will get dirty, because you're a sinner, I'm a sinner, we're all sinners, and therefore, we soil ourselves with our bad ideas, our bad priorities, our bad thoughts, our bad actions, just our bad condition. That will happen. But let it never be that you have taken off this garment, that you have discarded Christ, that you have had other ideas about what's important in life. As long as you keep this wedding garment on, God will continue through your repentance, or because of your repentance, to cleanse it. But when you take it off, then you are like this man. And if you die in such a condition, then God will say, why don't you have your wedding garment on? And you'll have nothing to say. We should, to some extent, we should fear this idea. Not the terror that the Western poets and the Western preachers like to talk about. But we should fear ourselves. We're very forgetful creatures. And we're very ungracious creatures. And we tend to do things that we know are wrong. And if we do enough of those things, then we can forget what is right. It's happened to many, many people. That's the thing we should fear. We should fear that we could go the wrong direction. So now you have been given a new beginning. You are a new creature. You have come out of the water of baptism, having died in the waters and being reborn as a new creature. And this is now your opportunity to maintain this wedding garment to the best of your ability. And whether or not you keep it completely spotless is not important. What is important is that you keep it on, and that when you have a spot, you run to God and say, forgive me for my sin. And God will. and God will cleanse your garment. And you will grow in love and faith and knowledge of God until you'll be perfectly united with Him. Because that is the whole point of your baptism today. May God bless you and may God help you in all things. Amen.